verses 18 through 28. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 28. And, you know, one of the things most of you know that I teach here at the school, and one of the things I do to my students that they hate, and I know they hate it, but I do it anyway. You've got to do something, right? It's kind of really kind of drive into your kids. No, I'm just kidding. I ask kids a question a lot of times, and I'll say, so what's the answer to this? And they'll tell me, well, I don't know. And I'll look at them and say, you do know. You have the knowledge. You just don't know how to apply it. You know. You know the answer to this. And so I'll tell them, you know this, but you just don't know how to apply it. And we find it here, John's doing a lot of the same thing. In this, in verse 20 of this text, John's going to say, John tells his audience that you have been anointed by the Holy One and you have all the knowledge. You know the answer. And so this morning, as we look at this, we're going to look for that knowledge. What is that knowledge that you have and just how does it apply? Because sometimes, just like my students, we need to be shown how that knowledge applies in certain situations. So our text this morning, as I said, is 1 John chapter 2. Verses 18 through 28. John writes in 1 John 2:18, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. As we've been taking John, as we've been walking through this book, and as we've been going verse by verse, we've said many times that John gave us the reason he wrote this, his purpose statement. Why did he write this book? He said in John 5, chapter 5, verse 13, he said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This was his purpose statement. This is why I wrote this book. I want you to have this assurance that you know, that you may know that you have eternal life. And he said this assurance is not based on a feeling. It's not because you feel saved. This assurance is not based on anything that you've done. This assurance is based on knowledge. So since this assurance is based on knowledge, we're going to have a short pop quiz. You can tell I'm a teacher at heart, right? We need a pop quiz every once in a while to kind of say, all right, are you paying attention? Are we keeping up? You know, this is the purpose of a pop quiz, just to see how we're doing in this. So we're going to see how we're doing going through 1 John. First question that John wants to ask you. These two men are walking. One of them is in the light, walking in the light, and one of them is walking in the dark. John asks, who's saved? Who's the believer? All right, you did good. Most of you did good. You got that right. Good job. So we're one. Oh, yeah. No cheating, David. All right? Question number two. John goes on. He says, two men are walking. One walks keeping his commandments, and one doesn't. Which one's the believer? Wow, we're doing really good. You've been paying attention. John says, this is the test, you know, and this is it. And again, as we've said over and over, this does not mean they're perfectly keeping the commandments. It just means they live in this sphere of keeping the commandments. They desire to keep the commandments. They want to keep the commandments. This is their heart to follow and to obey God and know his will and to do this. And yes, they do things at times that looks like they're part of that other sphere, but their desires of the heart is to be in this obedient state before God. Okay, so question number two, we've done good. One more. Two men are walking. One loves the world. One loves God. Which one is the believer? Good. Way to go, Connor. Connor jumped in there. Connor always was the one that had his hand up first. You got 3 for 3. You did good. See, it wasn't hard. John said it wasn't hard. But there's a problem. You see, you know that God is light, and in him was no darkness. You have the knowledge that if God is light, then if you walk with him, you must be walking in the light, right? That only makes sense. If God is light, and in him is no darkness, and if you walk with God, you are walking in the light. Pretty logical and obvious. And John's been doing this, been laying this out, and he's going to continue to contrast the true with the false. And he asks one more question. He now asks, there are two men walking, and one knows the truth, he has the knowledge, and the other is false and doesn't have the knowledge. Which one is the believer? See, John states, and this starts out this section, about talking about the false or the Antichrist. He says, the Antichrist. And while I know something makes sense to me here. That starts out this section with the false Antichrist. And while I know as he talks about this section about the Antichrist and what's false in here, you know, we know that the Antichrist has been through here forever. You know, for since Christ died on the cross. John's talking about the Antichrist in his day, that he said there were many Antichrists. But I feel like that we've never been in a time with as many false teachings and false doctrine as there are now. That there are so many Antichrists out here. And as we look at this, you know, they're everywhere. As we take this verse apart and see how it applies to our life, we're going to see that there's so much false teaching out here, this Antichrist teaching, that it's become more difficult for us as believers to see this, the truth of this. John starts off in verse 18 by saying, children, it is the last hour. As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. First thing you need to understand is John has not changed subjects. He's not suddenly decided to talk about the end times. It's not like John has been talking about in verse 2. He said, I wrote this so that you may not sin. And now we're going to start talking about eschatology. We're going to start talking about the end time things. No, he's still talking about living this life today. But in our day and age, we know that we've taken the word Antichrist, and we said, well, that just all applies to the end times. That's in another dispensation. That's out there way out in the future. And there's this picture of the Antichrist that's not John's picture. You know, so many of us have been taught a faulty image of the Antichrist. You know, it was either a Hitler or a Stalin or if you read any of the Left Behind series, that Nicholas figure, that it's this person that's out to take over the world and use religion to do this. John has a different picture of this. John wants us not only to be aware that what this person is like, he wants us to know what this message is, and it's not something in the future. It's not something we're talking about way out there. John said that it's here and now. The message and the problem of the Antichrist is around you every single day, and you need to be aware of it. First thing you need to know about these false ones is that they're here and now, and also, the name that John gives him is real interesting. He calls him the Antichrist. He says these people are against Christ, or as we know, against the Anointed One. He doesn't call him anti-Jesus Christ, anti the Son of God. He calls them anti-Anointed One. They're not against Jesus. They're against the Anointed One, this title, who he is. They don't deny Jesus. The Antichrist that John's talking about are not denying that Jesus lived. They're not denying even his death on the cross. In fact, they embrace it. The Antichrist that Jesus is talking about embrace the fact that Jesus died on the cross. They are denying the Christ, the Anointed One, or his message, more importantly. And what is his message? You know, the word Antichrist only appears in John, first and second John. He's the only one who ever uses it. Many people talk about a false teacher that will be coming, but John names him the Antichrist, and he says they're coming, and they are denying the message of Christ. And what is the message of Christ? Flip back to chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message of Christ. In chapter 1, verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him, that is, the Christ, and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You see, this is what Christ came. Christ came and said, let me tell you who God is. I am the revelation. I was anointed by God to reveal to you who God is, and God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And these antichrists are coming with a different message, a different picture of God. You see, in their picture of God, God walks in darkness. Right, wait a minute. Nobody's teaching that, are they? In their picture, there's a different God out there. And the only way that you're going to recognize the truth from the lie is by studying the truth. You see, here they come, and they're teaching this picture of God who walks in darkness. They have a different message, an anti-Christ, an anti-anointed message. And John says, they went out from us that it might become clear that they are not of us. John said it's important to recognize that there's a separation. They went out from us so that we can separate, so we can differentiate between who they are, their message, and who we are, because they are worshiping a different God. And as Jack's been teaching us, it's like they've hooked their plumb line to a different truth. You see, this is the truth that John has. John says, and you know, keep up that construction analogy, you know, when you're building a corner, you're building a brick corner here, one of the first things you do on a house is you get up there and you put a point at the top, and you say, this is what I'm aiming for, this point. And then you start, and you tie it off at the bottom, and it's anchored to the top. And as long as that point at the top's right, and you're following that string, that corner's going to end up in the right place. But what happens when you put that line in the wrong place up top? What happens if you're aiming at the wrong point up top? You're going to miss, right? And you miss the whole house. Have you ever seen a house where the brick missed? You can always find those houses where the brick missed it. You look up and you see the windows, and instead of this much room between the brick and the windows, you see a little gap in there. The walls came out, and the brick missed the window. I've seen that. It's not a pretty sight. And so the problem is, and John says there's the same kind of issue here. They're worshiping another god. They've hooked their plumb line to the wrong place. John's saying that this is the truth that they've hooked on to. And their truth that they're hooked on is completely against Christ, the anointed one. The truth that they've hooked to is against his message, his revelation. But notice John's play on words in verse 20. In verse 20 he says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. See, he calls them the Antichrist, and Christ being the Greek word for anointed one. They are the anti-anointed one, but by the anointed one, you all have the knowledge. You know the truth. You know the answer. You already know this. And what is that knowledge? That God is light, and in him is no darkness. You know that. You know who the true God is. You know that those who know him walk in the light. Why? Because he is in the light. You know that those who know him, the true God, keep his commandments or follow his spirit because he is absolutely perfect. And everything he asks me to do is for my joy. I can trust him. I know that. God is light and in him is no darkness. So everything he asks you to do, he's doing it because he is morally and absolutely perfect, and everything he does is absolutely perfect. You know that. So when he asks you, it's not because he hates you, because he loves you, and he's doing it for your joy. You can trust him. You know the true God. You've been anointed by his Spirit to know this. You have this knowledge, John tells us. And you know him. Those who know him know the true God, love him. Because they see that the world's passing away. And that only he abides forever. As we talked about last week. How do you fool yourself into looking around the world today and look at all of the destruction and all of the catastrophes and all of the disasters and say, this is what I want to love. And not see that it all is just passing away. It's all so faded. And the answer, of course, we talked last week, is because of the message of the world saying it's all about you. But you know the true God, and you love him, John says. Those who know him know the true God, love him, because he abides forever. This is the true knowledge. And everyone anointed by the Holy Spirit has this knowledge, John says. In verse 21, though, John goes on and says, you already know this. I didn't have to write this to you. God has already revealed this to you. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. But don't forget, there's a liar out there. There are liars out there. This Antichrist, this spirit of Antichrist, who is lying. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, that his message was the anointed one. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. This is the liar, the false one. The ones who are denying Christ's message, the ones who are teaching about another God. They're teaching you this picture of God that's different from the true picture. It's not a picture. The Antichrist is not saying, come and follow Buddha. He's not saying, come and follow Muhammad. He's saying, come and follow God. But it's a different picture of God. That picture has been twisted, moved, changed a little bit, distorted a little bit. For all of us, and as I said, for all of us at times, you know, if this is a pattern of life, you know, we have those, we're living over here and we're loving, we do sin. We're not saying we never sin. But we're saying that here's this that we are, we're called, we know this. Those would, they would, this Antichrist, these people who are teaching us the message, would have you believe that you can know God and walk in darkness. That you can know God and not keep his commandments. Those false teachers would have you believe that you can know God and still love the world. That's the false message. That I know God. Now, I don't want to obey him. I don't want to keep his will. I don't want to walk after him. I don't want anything to do with him, but I know him. What? Really? Now, I want to walk in darkness. I want to, as Jack says when he talked to the people at jail, I want to rape, steal, and plunder, but God's right here with me. He's in my heart. Really? God's walking in this dark with you? God who is light? Really? That's a different God than John's talking about. Oh, I know God, but I just love the world. Don't you love the world? It just appeals to the desires of my flesh. I love the world. Oh, but I know God. Really? John says that's a different God, folks. That's not the same God he's speaking of. As we met yesterday, Jack said there are three ways, according to Kettle, you can deny Christ. You can deny him in your discipleship, meaning I'm not having anything to do with him. I'm not going to be a Christian. No, it's not for me. I'm going another way. You can deny Christ that way. Or you can deny him in your doctrine. Yeah, I believe in Christ. Oh, but that's not really true what he said about this. When he said, not everyone who comes to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, that wasn't really applying to me. That's a different truth. That was for different people. That doesn't apply to me. Or you can deny him in your walk. And these antichrists who are denying Christ, certainly it's leading others to fall completely away from him. But I think the real problem, the real danger we have is that denying in our doctrine and in our walk. And just to be clear, John tells us in verse 23 that denying Christ, that when they're denying Christ, they're denying the Father. This is a false God that they're teaching about. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son or agrees with the Son. To confess, the very essence of the word, fess means to talk. Con means with. You agree with. Your tongue agrees with the Son. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. But true knowledge about the true God will lead to eternal life. Verse 24, let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Let what you have heard abide in you. Hold on to that true knowledge. Fight for it. Fight to keep it. Keep it inside of you. You've been anointed with it. He said, the Holy Spirit has come and anointed you with this knowledge. Now he's saying, let this abide in you. You have something to do. Keep it inside of you. Keep refreshing that true knowledge. Seek after it every day. You can't just say, man, I got that done. Now sit down and rest. It's a fight. Hold on to it. Let this abide in you. Let it settle down in you. Let it live in you. Let this truth live in you. Let it stay there. That you've heard from the beginning. Let it be right inside of you. If what you've heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will abide in the Son and in the Father. If, my Bible has if. Does your Bible have if? Yeah, if. So now just so we're clear, My understanding is, if I don't let this abide in me, if I abandon this truth, am I not one of the Antichrists? If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Father. What a great promise. What a great promise in this promise he made to you, to us, eternal life. And that, going back again, eternal life is what? It's about knowledge. John tells us, John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that you know God the Father and the Son whom he sent. But we have a problem. We have a problem. Verse 25. There are deceivers out there. You see, these antichrists, they went out from us, but they didn't leave us. Isn't that scary? They went out from us, but they didn't leave us. They're still deceiving. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. These antichrists are still trying to deceive us. Not by being outside the church, trying to get us to follow some other religion, but instead by being Christians and trying to talk believers into following a lie. This is the deception. You see, it is not a deception for somebody to come in and say, Allah is the way. That's not a deception. You're not going to be deceived that way. The deception is to come in and to tell you a lie about God and you start believing it. And it sounds so good. See, I fear that John's picture of the Antichrist is much different than ours. Most of us, when we think of the Antichrist, we think of some charismatic speaker trying to get you to follow a new religion. Instead, and please, 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 I am not calling anybody by name. Instead, it might be a sweet, gentle, loving pastor who is standing up in the local Baptist church teaching that God is love and that once you prayed this prayer of salvation, you can never lose it, no matter how wicked or depraved your life might be. That's the Antichrist. It's not vicious. Man, this man was deceived and he's passing that deception on to others. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to be comforted. He's standing up here and he's telling you about, well, you can never lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. You know? The mother who comes to him and says, my son was killed in a shootout. He was caught in a drug deal. And it's heartbroken. And the pastor lovingly says, but remember when he was 8 years old, Vacation Bible School. He prayed that prayer. He walked the aisle. He's baptized. You can be comforted. He's in heaven right now. Now, the reality is, at 9 years old, he stole a car, got into drugs, and never, ever, ever claimed Christ or sought his will again. But this pastor just deceived that mother. Just lied to her, according to John. Be careful, the deceivers, the Antichrist, this message out there. And what's really so amazing about this is I know the heart of the mother. I want to believe it, don't you? I want to believe that. This is appealing to my flesh. I want that to be true. So I look over all these scriptures. I look over what John says in 1 John because I want it to be true. I never forget, I was in a Bible study with a man once. We're just going through it. We're talking about this faithful obedience that God looks at. It says, you know, that that faith that works is dead, that if you believe, then there will be fruit. And we're doing this Bible study. And we're in a circle. I'll never forget Paul sitting right there. He looked up with angry tears in his eyes. He said, "Don't you tell me my brother's lost and going to hell." And I'm thinking, I don't even know your brother. Never met him. Wouldn't know if he walked through the door. But I wasn't saying it. We honestly were just reading the scriptures. What does this mean? He wanted to hold on to a different God. He said, "I saw my brother with tears in his eyes repent, but then walk away." There's this lie that says no matter how wicked or depraved you are, it's all good. The Antichrist might be the friend around the water cooler who doesn't warn you what the sin in your life is doing. Who doesn't warn you that you're walking away. He's not trying to be mean. He's not trying to take over the world. He's just not giving you the truth. He's preaching to you another God. But John has this assurance for us. But the anointing that you received from him, that is from God, from the Holy Spirit, this anointing that you received from God abides in you. So first he says, you have this knowledge because it is abiding. Then he says, hold on to it. Let it abide in you. And now he's going back and say, but you have this assurance that it's abiding. And we see this responsibility. We have the responsibility to hold on to let what we've heard abide into us. And don't be worried because the anointing abides in us. How does he know the anointing abides in us? Because we take the warning seriously. Those who read this and take this warning seriously, who hear this and say, "God, let me hold on to that. Let me walk after that." John has confidence. He's resting in this. He's going to abide in you. Why? Because you hear this and you're seeking after that one true God who is light. That when you do these sins over here, you say, "Oh, God, keep me here. God, you have to keep me in this commandment. You have to keep me walking after you. You have to keep me in the light because I know myself. I would be over there. Please, Lord, circumcise my heart." You hear the warnings and you're begging God, "Touch my heart. Keep me close to you." You're not walking over here in the stubbornness of your heart saying, "Yeah, I sinned, but you know, God's grace is so amazing. God just forgives all my sins. I don't have to worry about it." You're not over here. John says, "I don't worry about you because you're not over there." You hear his words and you know the warning of them. So John goes on to tell us, "You have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as he has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him at the coming of his name." He said, you want to abide, you want to keep him, you want to stay there so you have confidence if you know that he is righteous, or if you know that God is light. If you know that, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Verse 29, as he closes this section. Everyone that practices righteousness has been born of him. You have this. You know you have the knowledge. You know that God is true and that he is light and in him is no darkness. And those that are walking with him are walking in the light, are seeking to do his commandments, love him and not loving the world. That's what it looks like to know who he is. Because if you don't know that, you walk in the darkness. You know, when you study 1 John, as we conclude, everybody talks about John's written to the Gnostics of that day, and certainly that's true. Gnosticism was a rising problem. And it's interesting, when you read who the Gnostics were, it was, many people say, the most dangerous heresy that threatened the early church. Now, listen to this. Listen to this problem during the first 3 centuries. This was the most dangerous heresy that threatened the early church in the first 3 centuries. Gnosticism is based on 2 false premises. This is from thebible.org. It's based on these 2 faulty premises. First, it espouses a dualism regarding the spirit and matter. Gnosticism asserts that matter is inherently evil and spirit is good. As a result of this presupposition, Gnostics believe that everything done in the body, even the grossest sin, has no meaning because real life exists in the spirit realm only. So it doesn't matter if Gnostics would say what you do in the body. You can do whatever you want to in the body, because your spirit's safe. Your spirit's secure. In our day and age, we would say your ticket has been purchased, been punched. You got it set up. It doesn't matter what you do in the body. You can do whatever you want to, because your spirit is locked up in special knowledge. You have this special knowledge about who God is. So whatever you want to do over there, don't worry about it. It's amazing how we have that same teaching today. We just don't call it Gnosticism. Unfortunately, and this is the scary part, guys. Unfortunately, in many, many, many churches, that's just orthodoxy. That is the standard message. Raise your hand. Look up. Say the right words. Do the right thing. All right. Your ticket's set. You've got it all made. You don't have to worry about anything. You'd be better. You'd be happier if you did the right thing. But don't worry if you don't. You can do whatever you want to over here. They call it the most dangerous heresy of the first century, of the early church. And it hasn't changed. It's still so, so dangerous. Because in today's world, this has become Christian. This is what Christianity looks like. Live any way you want to. Do whatever you want to. My good friend of mine and I lived in Dandridge for a while, and we were both pretty active. And so we did a lot of visiting. And as a real result of that, we did a lot of going to funerals. And we would... between ourselves, it was kind of a joke. And we would say we bet on it, but we never actually bet money. We just sort of kind of kidding around. And the question was, how long would it take the pastor to preach the guy to heaven who had never had any relationship with the church? And what happened, probably the picture above all of this was a man that we had visited one evening. We came to visit his home and sit down with him and talk to him, and the man vehemently, passionately denied Christ and how much he hated Christ in the church. Passionately hated Christ in the church. As a bunch of busybodies and do-gooders, and he said, and you're you preach a God who hates people, and I mean, just and of course, it's laced with profanity and every kind of curse in the world. And then, not that week, but the next weekend, the man got drunk, walked out on his back stoop, slipped on the ice and fell, and died there due to exposure. Mark and I went to the funeral for the aunt and uncle that we knew, and to encourage him. And it was, the preacher got up, and it was just God's, I mean, just literally within 2 minutes. I know this man's in heaven. I know he is because of Vacation Bible School. He was 8 years old. Now, in that audience were so many of his friends. What God was preached to them? Was it the true God who is light and walks in light and in him is no darkness? Or was it this God who walks over here with you in darkness and is comfortable in darkness and can and lives here? What a heresy that's going on in church. And what's amazing is, where is the outcry of the church? You know, I mean, we talked to the pastor. Said he, but he denied it to us. Yeah, brother, but when he was 8, and God's grace is sufficient to cover all of his sins. But God's grace wasn't sufficient to bring him out of sin, was it? How sad. Let's pray. Lord God, there is truly one true God. And that God is light. And this is the message that Christ has delivered to us, that God is light and in him is no darkness. And Lord, we live when there's such a conflicting message. God, I pray that we would hear those words, that we would, as that song said, speak, O God, speak, O Lord. May your word speak to our hearts. May our obedience rise. May our faith rise as we seek after you, to your glory, to your praise. Lord, we know that the knowledge came from you, the obedience came from you, the seeking after you came from you, that all of this, even the desire and the will to abide, comes from you. And so we praise you for that. Lord, help us to hold on to that truth, to that knowledge. May you be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. This is our first